This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Oh my God. I had all these like thought starters written down for like our conversation today. Now I'm just like, Code Brown takes over everything.
Code Brown. Yes, Archie had explosive diarrhea all over the living room. It's fine. I'm fine.
Did he get into something? Did he eat something? Or is it just like a...
I think my dad gave him like some cheese and some snacks, and
I should have
called him and made him come clean it up. I'm just kidding. But no, it was... he's such a good puppy that like it's fine, like this never happens. He's getting potty trained so well. I'm more just like, oh, are you okay, buddy? But everything's good. The last time I was late to recording with you, I literally forgot that we were recording. I like forgot that we had a guest, so this is so unlike me, but here we are. It's all good.
We're good, honey.
First day back at work and I'm just like a fucking disaster.
Wait, so did you have to work at your new job today?
Yes, today was the first day of class. We had lecture today, 3-hour lecture that I'm co-lecturing. And luckily I didn't have to do too much today because the head instructor kind of just wants me to observe the first few weeks and see her style of lecturing. And then in like week 4 and 5, I'm going to take over. I'm going to be lecturing for like 3 hours.
So like, what are you going to be lecturing on? Like, what's going to be your thing?
You know, it's so funny, Dee, because during class today, she kept on like referring to me as Dr. Camardo. Dr. Camardo's sitting over there. Dr. Camardo, what do you think? And every time I was like, who is she? Like, who? And I was like, oh, fuck, that's me. I was like,
Dr. Camardo.
I was like, oh, me. Okay. Yeah, I guess I need to things.
What are you going to go by? Dr. Camardo or Professor Jack?
I like Dr. C, to be honest. I think Dr. C.
Oh, that's cute.
Do you like Dr. C?
I like Dr. C.
And then my clinical group usually just calls me Jackie. Like my closer clinical group, they just call me Jackie. But in the bigger lecture, it's just Dr. C. Okay, so I'm teaching 2 classes. Okay. We'll give like a quick little like career update. Now that I'm back in healthcare, it's like, hey guys, I've been gone for like 6 months. Nice to join you back in the healthcare world. So I am full-time faculty at UIC, University of Illinois at Chicago. It's a super competitive nursing program. So the students are brilliant and lovely. I taught all throughout my FNP program. So this isn't like super, super new to me because I have been involved in like academia and teaching for the last like 3 or 4 years or so. But I am lecturing. The class is called Adult Healthcare Throughout the Lifespan. And
oh, cool.
So the students have already taken patho and pharm and genetics and all
Thank
of their
God you
prereqs.
Don't have to teach that.
I know. So this is the class where it's kind of putting everything together. It's like we learn the patho, we learn the pharm. Now, how does this look in a clinical setting? So a lot of the exam questions are case studies. And today, for example, we are doing fluid electrolyte imbalances. Next week, we're doing acid bases. So instead of like trying to understand and learn what those things are, it's like, what would a patient that's dehydrated look like? And how would we treat it? Like, what are the fluids that we would be running? So it's definitely a higher level class. This is one of their hardest classes for sure. It's kind of like one of those weed out classes. So the students are usually really, really stressed. It's definitely, yeah, I guess it's really one of those tougher classes. It's definitely the hardest one that they have this semester. So it's good and bad. I mean, they're definitely motivated and they're like scared a little bit, which is kind of fun from my end. It's like, you're going to be okay. Like deep breaths.
Well, you need some healthy fear in school, especially and throughout your nursing career, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I agree. Yeah. And so then this class, I lecture once a week. And then this is the lecture that coincides with both their inpatient clinical. So their in-person clinical. Those dreaded clinicals, those long 12-hour days at the hospital where you learn your hands-on. So I teach that once a week. And then it also has a lab portion. So then on Fridays, we do lab from 9 to noon, and that's all of the skills. So just continuing to build on all of the basic skills. They've already done all the basic stuff like vitals and fluids and things. So these are a little bit more advanced skills. We're going to get into NG tubes and chest tubes and trachea, all of that stuff. So that's the main class that I'm teaching. And then I'm also teaching health assessment, which is a lab. So advanced health assessment. I have a group in the morning and then a group in the afternoon. So like, think you're advanced head to toe. Yeah. I'm a busy gal now. Look at me.
Are you loving it? Are you so excited?
Oh my God, Dee, I love it. I was on campus today and I ran into some of my old students and they were like, oh my God, Jackie, we've been following you on Instagram. Like, how were your travels? How's the podcast? How is everything? They're like, the juniors told us that you're lecturing med surge and advanced in like advanced adult healthcare. Like, is that true? I'm like, damn, who told you guys that? Like, work travels fast around here.
Like, oh my God.
Spreading rumors about me.
Are you low-key worried they're going to listen to the pod and hear me be like, Jack's had all the Italian lovers.
I actually said that did cross my brain today. I was like, oh,
that
God,
I'm going
like,
to embarrass you with your students.
My 20-year-old students are going to hear all about my sex life and my eggs. And my eggs. Speaking of today's topic, they're going to hear all about my eggs.
Do you think we need to filter ourselves? Or do you think we'll be okay? We'll be okay.
You know what? My faculty, like the other faculty at UIC, they have always been so supportive of my endeavors in the business and with the podcast and with social media. Like they are so supportive of me using social media as a platform to kind of educate and share information about nursing and talk to nursing students. They are always so supportive. Sorry, Archie's being a little monster right now. Hopefully he doesn't code brown everywhere again. But no, they've always been so supportive. So until further notice, I think we're okay.
Archie's literally trying to take your clothes off right now. And Ray is sitting underneath my feet, like being like very...
He literally
attention
is.
Right now too.
Let me grab his bone to try to distract him. It's right here. Okay. All right, crazy boy. How are you doing, Dee? Do we have any career updates from your end?
Well, I'm heading up in a couple hours to go see Michael and do my final job interviews, job shadows, see the offers, look at apartments. Like, this is gonna be a big week. My friend who helps me like run my social media and like work out like influencer deals was like, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you reached out to these like moving companies and like stuff like this? And I was like, I didn't have a date yet. And she's like, we'll lock down the date later. We need to figure out the deal.
100%. Get on that, Dee. You have so much coming up. You're going to need all the support and help that you can get.
No, we are about to embark, Jack, seriously, on a very crazy next couple months.
Very, very crazy.
You've got a new job. I'm moving and starting a new job. And then Jack and I can officially say we are freezing our eggs in the next couple months, along with all of our moves and new career changes and all the things. So, you know, doing the typical nurse thing, taking on way too much at once, maybe.
That's how we do it here. We're all or nothing, honestly.
We really are. We're all in or we're not in.
But no, I'm so excited that we have made the commitment to doing this. We're hoping that we can kind of move the needle and normalize the conversation around fertility. I know it's not something that people really talk about. So we're excited to do this together and share it, hopefully educating our community here on what the hell this process is like and the different options that you have.
Yeah, and different companies. We're going to be working with CoFertility, which is an amazing company that old WOMED fam Zochi recommended to us. And we're just so excited to work with them and can't wait to tell you more about that partnership. But first, Jack and I thought we'd kind of just get into how we're initially feeling about the process.
Absolutely. I think that we're still kind of coming to terms with the fact that we're doing this and that we're going to be doing it together and that we're going to be doing it soon. So let's just kind of jump in. So this is going to be an entire series where we are going to be sharing not just our personal experiences, but having on different guests in the field of fertility and specifically in the field of egg freezing to walk us through this process. Because I'm not going to lie to you, even as a healthcare worker, I had no idea what this process really looked like.
I didn't either.
I had to go into a very deep YouTube vortex before meeting any of our doctors because I'm like, wait, why do I know nothing about this? I thought there were months of injections and apparently there's not. There's only 10 to 12 days of injections, but I'm hoping that as healthcare workers that we can also provide some more of that science, physiology, farm background to what is happening in our bodies as we are experiencing it.
Yes. And I'm so glad you brought that up because, I mean, there's been, Jack and I are big fans of Armchair Expert, and Monica did a whole series on like their process.
Yeah. And big like, shout out to Monica Padman and Liz Plank because they really, I think, laid some great foundation for us to kind of follow along like a similar model of how they did it.
But also build with as healthcare providers ourselves and like how, what it's like being kind of on this side of the bedside for us.
Totally. And so for this episode and for this entire series, of course, like I said, we'll be sharing our personal experience as self-identified women. However, we do want to acknowledge that not all who identify as women have egg cells and undergo egg freezing and have questions about fertility. So I'm really excited that we can jump in to these topics with co-fertility with the experts over there and making it more accessible for different gender identities in the LGBTQ plus population. So stay tuned for all of that.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Danny, what are some of your personal reasons for wanting to freeze? How did we get here, basically?
So I feel like this is a conversation I've had a couple times on the WOMED. But for me, it kind of stemmed around knowing my mom's history and knowing that she went through early menopause at 37. I'm 37. No other women in my family have gone through menopause that early. So I initially did some testing just to kind of see where I was. And there was nothing that really indicated that I should have any problem conceiving. But I just was like, well, you just don't know. Right. And, you know, up until like the last, I don't even know, like 7, almost 8 months now, I was single. And now I feel like the conversation has shifted for me even more now that I'm in a relationship, in a serious, committed relationship, that like I'm not ready to have a child like right this second. Like, I don't know what that looks like. I'm trying to be very conscious of my new relationship, his son, what this could even potentially look like for us. But all I know is like right now, I'm not ready to have a kid. Like, I want to have fun with my boyfriend. I want to, you know, hopefully do all of the things that we're on track to do as far as like engagement, like be with each other forever because we have no plans on leaving each other. I'm speaking for Michael here, but, you know, he can interject. Never, because he's not on the pod today. But, you know, I'm thinking about my own timeline here. And theoretically, it with like anybody that I would have started to date, you know, maybe get engaged like a year and a half, maybe like married in like a year. And then, you know, I don't know, but like I would still want, like, even after I get married, to like have some time just with my husband, you know? So I feel like I'm in this like weird gray area where I don't know if I could get thrown into early menopause, but I don't know what I actually want and how it could conceivably look for me. And if we're going to get like super personal, it's been wild starting to feel this sense of motherhood and like opening myself up to that, you know, with James and figuring out that role with Michael. So it's like, there's just so much going on and I just want to take some pressure off. So if I know I have some eggs frozen, keep them on ice. Eggs in the bank. That's what I want. Eggs in the bank. But yeah, that's kind of, oh my God. Yeah, that's where I'm at mentally, emotionally, why I want to do this. Because you don't know what life's going to throw at you. You don't know what your body's going to do. And this is a way for women to really take control of their reproductive freedom, in my opinion. Or people with eggs who identify as women or don't identify as women. What about you, Jack?
Well, I mean, I think it's so important that you highlighted that you are in a really stable relationship right now. And it's funny because I'm in the complete opposite. I'm as single as you could possibly be, but we both have like similar reasons for wanting to freeze our eggs. And I think there are similar reasons for a lot of people that go down this path. But like, let's be real, women who want to have children with a partner have less time to find a suitable partner. We don't have the luxury to wait until we're ready, whether that's emotionally or financially ready to have children, or whether it aligns with where we're at in our career, finding the right person or traveling. And this is especially true for women in healthcare who are waiting longer to start a family. And that's where I'm at. It's a little bit of all of those reasons, but it's really just, I think, me wanting a sense of control, or at least of what I can control over my fertility and my future.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm as single as you could possibly be. I'm 32, but I don't want the pressure on me to just jump right in and find someone. As we've talked about in the podcast, I just got out of a, you know, really long relationship and a marriage. And there's a lot of other emotions kind of like tied up in all of this for me, as I'm sure there are with everyone that goes through this. But I just don't want that pressure of having to find someone right now. And even if I did find someone similar to you, I don't want that pressure of having to, you know, get engaged, get married, you know, do all these things. Life throws so many curveballs at you. You don't know what your life is going to look like, what your health is going to look like. And I'm just hoping after this that I'll have a little bit more of a peace of mind and options and time.
So you touched on something else there that I feel like is so important, especially as a single woman. I feel like, and maybe this is me just on my soapbox, I feel like women in their 30s, we have that pressure to get engaged, find someone who might be good enough, might not be the love of your life, just because you want to have kids, want to have a family. And I feel like doing this and taking that control over like your reproductive freedom really gives you more romantic freedom as well. Like, at least hopefully, we've waited this long, right?
Yeah.
I don't want my biological clock to dictate who I decide I want to be with that I might settle for because they're good enough. And, you know, I don't know. Like, is that kind of, does that resonate with you at all?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, right now, I don't know about you, I'm feeling all of the different emotions right now. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling empowered, but I'm also feeling angry and conflicted. And I think I'm feeling a little bit of, again, with this sense of control, I'm feeling this like a little angry because I'm still working through like a sense of, I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I had found the partner that I wanted to do this with. And while, you know, life happens, and even though I'm so happy with where I am now, I think I'm still angry over this loss of perceived control. And to be honest, now I'm not even 100% sure that I want kids, or that I would want kids without a partner. You know, I'm pretty sure if I met the right person, I would want to try for biological children, because that's something that I wanted the last few years. Maybe I would adopt. But again, I don't know if I'm ready to say that I want to be a mom without a partner. And so freezing the eggs, I think, is again, just that option for more time to figure that out.
Yes. And,
but I will say, yes, like that anger is there a little bit. But I think that almost stems from like anger that like women have to even do this in the first place, that we have to be put on these timelines, that we have to do this thing where we're like, okay, well, I'm 30 so years old, and then plus this many years to find someone, plus this many years to be married, plus this many years to, you know, it sucks that we, I think there's like an anger that we have to do that. But in a larger sense, I absolutely feel so empowered and liberated. Like, fuck yes, I am an educated woman. I am taking control of my reproductive autonomy. What is more feminist than that? But there's also this voice questioning, does egg freezing reinforce the patriarchy and gender ideologies that associate fertility with womanhood and the ability to produce biological children with a woman's worth? Egg freezing is such a privilege. It's such a privilege. So it's like hard to even complain or bring up these like negatives about it. But I have been wondering, like, is egg freezing this like individual band-aid that is really just aggravating class, racial, gender inequalities, instead of a real solution for equal pay, maternity, paternity leave, affordable childcare, comprehensive health insurance that should cover this for everyone? I mean, I think that there's room for both. Egg freezing can be a liberating choice while also challenging those patriarchal structures in the home and in the workplace and fighting for overall restructuring of societal norms and gender roles, right? So I guess with this series, I'm excited to dig a little bit deeper into the ethics around egg freezing and its place in intersectional feminism. I'm curious, do you feel that at all? Or do you feel like anger? Or do you feel any sort of stigma, even just talking about this or starting this?
A little bit of both. I didn't really realize, I don't think I could have named it as anger, but it's something that I just, like, the more I think about it, more I talk about it, it is a major frustration that we as women or people that have eggs, like, we have to think about this. Like, it's on us.
Yeah.
And like, there's just so much that is placed on us. And I hear you when you say that with like a woman's worth. I don't know. I'm excited to dig into that further, especially with the company that we're working with, trying to make this so much more accessible to people of all economic status, that I'm very excited to get into these conversations, especially the ethics around egg freezing. I think I'm like blown. I'm just like, oh my God, this is why I love you so much, Jack, because your brain just like, where I feel like I'm like, don't have the words to express what I'm feeling. Like, you always come through with it.
Thank you for saying that. That's so sweet. But you're right. Like, we are doing this process with a company that we both feel really aligned with. And I think that that's why it works. I mean, there's so many problematic assumptions, I think, with this topic. Like, one, like I said, that women's worth is tied up with their biological ability to produce children. When you start to get into your 30s, like, there is that stigma of like, oh, well, why haven't you had kids? Are you not trying? Like, what's wrong with you? Have you not found the right person? There's such
what's
a stigma.
What's wrong with you?
But then there's those assumptions that parenting is most fulfilling through this heteronormative lens. If you are genetically related to your child. And so I'm so excited that the company that we're working with, again, CoFertility, is not only making egg freezing more accessible for all people, but is challenging those really outdated standards.
Yes.
Ah, The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
I mean, it even brings up the question of, I was just talking to my sister about this, you know, egg freezing, again, is such a privilege. It's such a luxury. It's fucking expensive, you guys. It's so expensive. So it is such a privilege. So then we start to see, you know, we started to see some of the first companies that were offering egg freezing was, you know, Google and Apple. And it was like this huge deal. Amazing that they're offering these things to women. But then on the other hand,
are they doing it just so they can keep their productivity up and have the most?
You can argue. You could argue. Yeah. Why don't you invest in maternal and paternal leave, invest in people getting pregnant on the timelines that they want instead of, you know, I'm not saying that it's just,
but
it's
one could argue. Could argue this allows for people to, you know, go at their own timeline too.
Right. Exactly. So it's like there's so many different angles that you can look at this at. But anyway, I want to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Because this is something that we are doing
very soon.
So we're starting to prep.
Get our bodies ready.
You guys, we have a lot of questions. So this is, let's just note that this is episode number uno, where Danielle and I still don't know the answer to a lot of these questions. So Dee, what are some of the, let's fill our listeners in on some of the conversations that we've had already and some of these questions that we have.
Well, some of the ones, like, again, Jack has done like a major deep dive, and I feel like that girl in school that's like woefully unprepared and is like, help me quick before the exam. So
okay, but I'm going to interject here because that is not, this is like something that I've already been struggling with this process, is that I am such a perfectionist. I said, the moment we made this decision, I, like I said, I went down a freaking YouTube vortex to become a fertility freaking expert. And I can already feel myself spiraling into this. Well, I want to have 20 eggs and I want these to be the best eggs, the smartest eggs, the hottest eggs, the least stressed and healthy eggs as possible. So I'm going to do all these things to get the best freaking eggs. And it's like, bitch, what are you doing? Like, there are no guarantees here.
No guarantees. And that's so, just going to stress you out.
I'm
so
glad that
you
have me to balance out, because I am such a perfectionist that this is like, this could, I'm going to have to talk to my therapist a lot throughout this process.
Yeah, same. I've got another. I was talking to my therapist last Wednesday and we didn't even get to half the shit I wanted to talk about. I was like, I'm going to need you next week too.
Like, I just need my therapist on call for the next 4 months. Thank you.
Yeah. But like things like trying not to focus on the numbers. A lot of people have to do multiple cycles to even get like 12 or 15 eggs. Yeah. And some of those eggs don't survive like the thawing process. Like there's so much that goes into it. So egg freezing is not new, but it's also got so much room to grow in like the science surrounding it, how to keep the eggs like more viable, how to work on like the thawing and like the freezing process to preserve the viability of the eggs.
Right.
But I feel like we've been bouncing around ideas like, is there a supplement company that we can reach out to for the podcast that like, you know, we can have them on that specializes in this? But we're also like, but where's the clinical data on these supplements?
Exactly. Yeah. And not just supplements, but like there's so many lifestyle questions. Like, what are we supposed to eat? Do I have to change my diet? Do I have to stop drinking? Do I have to do the things that I would be trying to do for my body if I was trying to naturally conceive? Like, I don't know. And that's why thank God we're bringing experts on to
answer
these questions for us. So like, I guess I'm guessing the answer to this is probably somewhere in the middle, like eating a balanced diet and exercising and sleeping and not drinking.
Isn't there something about like you can't exercise while you're doing it either? Like, I don't know. There's so many questions.
Or is that doctor specific? Because I'm psycho and I've already looked this up. I think that you have to take it really easy when you're doing the hormone injections. Like, I heard something that you're not allowed to do. Like, you're not allowed to do this certain yoga poses to like invert yourself, like no downward dog.
Because what, the eggs are gonna go somewhere?
Danielle, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I read that. I mean, this is why, like, there's not a lot of information. Like, I'm finding myself on these freaking Reddit chains that, like, I know. It's bad. It's bad. And as healthcare professionals, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to Google things. But we
stay off Reddit.
Guys, but we do.
We Google, but we stay off Reddit. If my time on The Bachelor has taught me anything, we stay off of Reddit.
Oh my God. Okay. So we'll get back to y'all on the lifestyle changes because we're going to get an actual medical professional that specializes in this shit, unlike me and you that are just pulling shit out of our ass.
Yeah. But also, speaking of pulling shit out of our ass, I would like to interject that, like, there's been people who say, like, you can't drink while you're, like, doing this. But it's like, you're not going to have drunk eggs. Like, we've been drinking on these eggs since, like, what, 16?
I know.
The majority of people who get pregnant are probably under the influence as well. Maybe having a great night.
So, like, I think the general idea is that we want to take care of our bodies in a way that is going to accept the hormones, the injections, and
then we can't blame ourselves either for, like, having a drink.
Right. So here's, like, the crazy.
And that being what caused it.
This is the thing, though. Like, there's no guarantees. You could do all of the, like, quote unquote, right things. Stop drinking, eat all of the protein that you're supposed to eat, take the right stuff, whatever, and get no eggs. And you could treat your body like a trash can and go out drinking and not make any changes. And maybe because you aren't stressed, you'll probably get a ton of fucking eggs. So who knows? So I'm really trying to, like, I think, put my perfectionism to the side and not have a number in mind and not end up with this, like, false sense of optimism and hope and control. I think that's, like, the main thing that this comes back to is, like, you can't control this.
Right.
You can try to do your best to, like, set yourself up for success. And we're excited to kind of, you know, talk about that more and how we can do that. But on that note, something we know we do have to stop is our birth control.
Yeah, this has been, like, the biggest hang up with us because we're coming from two very different sides of this. Like, I'm in a relationship and I don't want to get off birth control right now because I don't want to get pregnant and I really enjoy sex with my boyfriend. Sorry to anyone who's listening.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry. Michael's mom, family. I don't know if you guys are being, like, listening or what, but I love your son very much. Okay, thanks. But then we have Jack, who's in, like, hoe phase. Like, let's go.
I'm dancing over here.
She's dancing. And you don't want to get pregnant right now either, and you don't want to, like, not have fun.
No.
But we're going to be taking all these hormones and shots that are going to produce a fuck ton of eggs. And, like, I don't know what to do.
I know. I think it's so funny because literally at the start of the new year, you and I, like, it wasn't a formal promise, but we both, like, kind of had this understanding of, like, okay, in the new year, we're going to stop our birth control because we're getting serious about this egg freezing.
And, like, y'all, we're, like, 5 days in and I'm like, Jack, I'm about to start my new pack. Like, we can't, like, get off this yet.
You're like, wait, actually, I'm going to Cleveland to visit Michael this weekend. Can we just, like, push it back another week? I'm like, yeah, I never stopped taking mine. This literally was our first question. So just, like, a little asterisk for people that don't know. And again, we will have the doctors come in. Confirm this. Do not take my medical advice, but for the most part, you cannot be on hormonal birth control pills. You can, however, have an IUD. So just FYI for people going into this, Danielle and I are both on hormonal contraceptives. So that is why we know we have to stop.
Yes.
But we're just waiting until a doctor like formally tells us.
But do you think that extends to a hormonal IUD? Because that's...
Okay. So I consulted with my twin sister who is a midwife. Okay. And she confirmed that the hormonal IUDs work locally. They work in the cervix. They do not work systemically. So you are allowed to keep your hormonal IUD in place because it is just working locally at the cervix. So you guys, I'm not going to lie. I freaking struggled a lot with this decision about the birth control again, because like, it brought up that anger again. Like, I'm mad again with the anger. It's bullshit that women have to worry about their timelines. It's bullshit that we have to do this, spend all this money and do this in the first place. And then it's fucking bullshit. You're telling me now, at this point, now I have to like sacrifice again something else to do with my body. It like fucking pissed me off. And again, I really don't want to sound whiny and complaining because this is such a privilege, but I'm not going to lie. Like, we're being real here. It fucking pissed me off. So I decided, Danielle, that I am stopping my hormonal birth control and I am getting an IUD. And maybe it's not because I want to have a ton of sex. I mean, maybe I do want to have a ton of sex. Sorry, Mom.
Who doesn't?
But again, about the control, like I want to be able to feel like I still have a sense of control over my body and the choices that I'm making with my body.
So here's like another question, because like I might end up doing that too, because I've had an IUD before, but I had the copper one and like that's like the non-hormonal one. And right, I will like talk anyone out of that because
I have not heard good things about the copper. I've heard great things about the Mirena, and I think that's probably what I'm going to do. Hey, maybe at one of these series, we can have someone come talk about IUDs with us.
Yeah, no, I think that's great because that brings up my other question. When they're doing the like actual egg retrieval, is the IUD going to get in the way? Like, is that something they have to like,
so again,
I'm like the
question,
dildo probe, like that,
yeah, literally where Danielle is making a dildo out of her hand right now. But, so I asked my sister this because Danielle and I have to have our first consultation appointment is a transvaginal ultrasound where they're going to get all of our baseline shit done, like however many weeks or months in advance. We are going to have a transvaginal ultrasound, which basically is literally like a dildo going inside of you and taking a look at your ovaries. So I first asked my sister, I was like, well, can they like put an IUD in when they're doing this first transvaginal ultrasound? And she said, no, we're working with like you're going to have to go all the way into the cervix to put in the IUD. But she said, as we'll be needing to get regular transvaginal ultrasounds, that they can check that it's in place, which is good.
Okay.
So it's that's not good. Going, the IUD should be like further up, obviously into the cervix. So it shouldn't mess with it, but it's kind of like she said, it's a good like reassurance to be getting, you know, it's not like, obviously this isn't why you're doing it, but it's nice to be getting some transvaginal ultrasounds. They can make sure that your IUD is in place.
Yes. That is a excellent point.
Okay. So that's information from my twin sister who's a midwife. This is not medical advice, blah, 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 disclaimer, see your own doctor, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. Blah, 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 whatever.
But you, Danielle, you actually scared me into not getting an IUD. It wasn't because the copper was so bad. You said extremely painful.
It was, it felt like a rock in my body. Like I had it in for, I think like 3 or 4 months, and I had the heaviest, most painful periods of my life. And literally the second they removed it and I stood up, I was like, oh, it was so weird. And like, I don't know if I would be like just that in tune with my body. I felt lighter. It felt like a rock in my vagina.
I know. My other sister had the same experience with an IUD. But then I have some friends that love them and swear by them.
See, and that also scares me too, because with the hormonal, I've had so many different problems with birth control and having like all this like breakthrough bleeding that I'm like, oh, good. Everyone's like, oh, no, Mirena, Skyla, so great. Like, your period totally stops. And then I'm like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen to me.
I know. Yeah, because I know that some, like, spotting is common. It really just depends. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm on, like, a low-dose estrogen, low-dose estrogen progesterone combination pill, so like a COPC. I fucking love this pill, you guys. Like, yeah. Not only does it prevent me from getting pregnant, it clears up my skin. My periods are so much more manageable. My PMS is so much more manageable. Like, I'm literally the poster child for this, for fucking low estrogen. So I'm with you. Like, again, I'm like, I guess at the end of the day, it's like, this is, it's like the cost, like, benefit. We want to freeze our eggs. That is the most important thing. We want to get our eggs. So,
and we want to have the best chance of getting them.
So what are you willing to, like, sacrifice along the way? And I guess, like, for me, stopping my oral contraceptive and trying an IUD, like, not the end of the world. Like, there's worse things that we could do. Should we schedule our IUD appointments on the same day?
I think we better.
Or you're still not convinced. You're still on the fence.
I think you face. Actually, I literally had it as a point in here. Jax, I you do or I you don't. Like, and now I feel like you've convinced me.
It's just, for me, it's just, again, like, it's, yes, of course, it's about preventing pregnancy and, like, and to, yes, have sex, but.
Control.
It's like, yeah, it's just about the control. It's like, I don't want to feel like I am having to put my life on hold to do something that may not even work.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like,
it completely makes sense. But there's also, like, the fear, especially with the current climate right now, of, like, if we get pregnant and we're not ready for that emotionally, relationship wise, that shouldn't be something that we have to take on.
I know.
You know, and, like, that thought scares me right now, because it's like, I don't know. I've literally been having, like, so many conversations with my therapist lately, because I'm like, there's so much changing in my world. Like, I'm feeling these, like, motherly feelings for like a fully grown child that's not mine, and, like, experiencing these feelings of, like, love and, like, what it will potentially mean being. And I feel so even gun shy to say this. And I think that's just, like, past trauma and, like, being scared of thinking something is more than what it is, or, you know, and being let down and, like, not letting myself fully believe that I'm in. I mean, like, I am in a fully beautiful, committed relationship.
Yeah. And if you don't believe it, listen to the last two episodes. Because
I know.
Hot damn.
I know. But hot there's damn, still
your
that
love
fear.
With each other is so
I
nauseating.
Know, I know.
Just kidding, guys. It's so freaking cute.
I know. And Michael's like, I can't wait for, like, this is just the beginning. There's going to be so many more holidays, all this, all that. And it's like, he does nothing but, like, assure me. Right. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's that past relationship trauma, right? Where, like, you think you have everything. Now, granted, nothing has ever come close to making me feel like this, like how I do with Michael. But there is still that fear. So, like, in saying I'm going to be in James's life as a mother figure or a stepmom or bonus mom, like, I don't know the terminology. Like, all that in a tangential way to say, I didn't know you could feel like a mom to someone who wasn't biologically yours. So I'm trying to, and I'm probably talking myself into early menopause, if I'm being honest. Like, I'm, like, so scared that it's going to happen to me. But, like, being okay and, like, realizing that, like, you don't necessarily have to have your own biological child to experience these emotions and what it means to be a mom to someone.
Right.
So, I don't know. This is going to be a really emotional ride doing this.
Get fucking ready, guys, because we haven't even started taking the hormones yet. But I think that's really beautiful. And I think that's extremely vulnerable and natural for you to be feeling like that. And I love that, because it is showing a real side that family and love and parenting and motherhood isn't always biological. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to what we were saying about, you know, freezing eggs and kind of making that this huge decision to invest in the future of a biological child. It's, you know, and that's not the only answer. That's not the mm-hmm. only way. So I hope that throughout the series, we can continue to have conversations around what family means and what parenting and motherhood means, because it's, you're in such a unique situation. And I always tell you, but you handle it so beautifully and with so much grace. Like I'm just so impressed with how you've handled this transition situation. So I love you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Ugh. Well, congrats for making it through the first episode of this series.
Yes. We're going to come in and out of it. It's not just going to be straight egg freezing this whole go, right. You know, but just know that it's going to be a reoccurring theme.
Yes.
This year, yeah, for the WOMED. Yeah.
And we are so happy if you continue to follow us along on this crazy roller coaster we're about to go on, from this decision. We've made the decision, to our months of preparation, our hormone injections through the egg retrieval. Like I said, we're also going to have experts in the field, including Lauren Mackler, the CEO of CoFertility, who is tackling what's broken in the traditional system that we discussed, Dr. Mira Shaw, who is the CoFertility medical advisor, and Dr. Mir Olcha, who is from Sama Fertility, to talk about the science, lifestyle recommendations. We will also be doing an IG Live answering all of your questions. And so with that, we have a lot coming your way. So please, please DM us at The WOMED on Instagram or email us at thewomedpodcast@gmail.com to submit any questions or topics that you're hoping that we can cover along the way.
Exactly. We are here. We want to know your questions, because your questions are probably our questions, and we're just going to be brutally honest through this whole thing. So if you're feeling it, like, share, leave a review, because we like reading them and it's really sweet. But if you have a friend that's going through this, or if you and your friend are in a situation where you're able to do this along with us, that's cool too. So I don't know. Jack and I are just excited. We're going to... Season 6 is off to a great start, Jack. I'm so
We're off to a real hot start. Okay, we're going to end this episode with some spear fingers to the ovaries.
Woo!
Spear
fingers to the ovaries. Is this going to be a thing? I'm feeling it. Okay.
I wish that everyone could see us doing this. I'll have to make a clip again for Instagram. Spear fingers to the ovaries.
Okay.
All right, guys. We will catch you next Friday. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. On that note, WOMED
out.